Taking our Bibles, looking at this passage here, we see several things of interest. This is a passage here before us, and it's very, very loaded with Scripture, by the way. Very loaded with preaching material, very loaded with ideas and thoughts. Some of you that are preachers or young preachers out there or have aspirations of preaching or Sunday school teachers or teaching, there's a lot of different ideas that you can get from this passage, which makes it very hard sometimes to settle on one. When you're trying to prepare for a message. Now, we pointed out several things with the kids there at the very end. We asked them some questions. It kind of seemed like a fun time for them. But at the same time, the reason we asked those questions is because that's what we're going to deal with in the message that we have tonight. And the thought for our message is very simple tonight, is what can your faith do for somebody else? Now, we always hear this expression a lot. And the world uses it, even though they may not be saved. The world uses this expression because it was made popular. There's even been songs written about it that are worldly songs and probably poems and all these things. But they always say to keep the faith, right? Or they say, I'm in the faith. Or I've got faith. Now, they may not know what that faith is in. They may not care what that faith is in. They just like that expression. But here in this passage, we can learn some things tonight about faith. Now, I want you to note the very first thing of importance that stuck out in my mind as I read this passage. The Bible says there, I believe it is going to be about verse number 3, and there came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Now, notice there, he was carried by four. Now you say, is there a reason? Hey, I believe that every number, everything God put for us in the King James Bible, I believe it is significant. I believe that God wanted us to know four there for some reason. Sometimes we get some good ideas and we get inclinations as to why those numbers are there, and other times we have no clue. I've always wondered about that number of fish that they caught. Well, you know, one time the net broke, and the next time it didn't break when they hauled it in the ship, and Jesus tells us exactly what the number of fish was. I don't know. Maybe that's just fishermen. They always report their story. But nonetheless, the numbers are significant. Now, and when you look at faith, hey, you know what? When we're talking about being saved tonight, the Bible says, according to Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Hey, our salvation tonight is not based on works. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And then verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when we talk about our faith tonight, or if I say what your faith can do, or we talk about faith, we're not using it like the world uses it. We're discussing tonight, we are talking about your being saved, being born again by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, having received Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you have done that by grace through faith, then you are saved, you are in the faith. Now, the Bible says, you say, well, where did I get that faith? Well, it says in Ephesians 2:8, for you're saved by grace, by faith. Well, for by grace, somebody started off for me. I got to hang around. By grace, for by grace are you saved through faith. Thank y'all. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is what? It's a gift of God. Do you realize that if you've been saved, that faith that God gives it to you. God will give you enough faith. You say, well, where in the world does it come from? Well, according to Romans chapter 10, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Everything we have is based on the Word of God. That's why everything in it is significant. Now, so we're talking about your faith. We're addressing saved, born-again people here tonight. And if that is one of you, you were given faith when you got saved to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the gift of God. And therefore, it comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, once you're saved, then it's up to you to do something else with that faith. Now, how do you get your muscles to grow? You eat pizza and sit on the couch, right? And you get that thumb muscle to grow really, really, really big. Or that finger muscle on that mouse there, you know. All right. No, that's not how we get strong. You got to do what? You got to exercise. You got to use it. You know, the Bible speaks of exercising your faith. Say, what does that mean? Well, let me ask you something. Everybody stand up. Just making sure you're awake. Helps you out. All right, everybody sit down. Sit down. I got one teen that don't trust me. Imagine that. Every one of you just exercise faith. You know what? Every one of you believed that the chair you sat down in would hold you. And therefore you sat down. Now you say, yeah, preacher, but we had already sat down in it. I knew it would hold me. That's because you've exercised your faith. See, when you go through something really hard and you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and He sees you through, then the next time something harder comes along, it's easier to trust the Lord Jesus Christ to get you through that one and not jump ship or not run for cover, whatever those things. You see, that is called exercising your faith. Now, the reason that a lot of times, our faith never grows is because we refuse to exercise it. How many of you, and don't raise your hands on this, but this is not one of those you answer in your heart. How many of you have ever went to Brother Welder for advice? Don't raise your hand, because you're not going to like the next part. And he took the Bible, and he said, well, according to the Word of God, this is what you ought to do. And you said, man, live, I didn't want him to tell me that. I sure thought he'd tell me my wife was wrong and I'm in the right. Don't worry about it. I sure thought he'd tell me I'm right on the right path and I don't need to turn around at all. I don't need to do anything different. See, but he tells us something and then you don't do it. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you have ever not did it? You know who you are. I can see some of you. Just kidding. But we don't exercise it. He told us good counsel. And you say, yeah, but I didn't believe him. Yeah, but if he told you out of here, this don't lie. See, that's why it's important that it's out of here. That's why, hey, we get saved out of here, right? We're saved by grace through faith, not of works. You say, praise the Lord. I'm glad I'm not in the Old Testament. I am too, you know. I mean, think about it. Have you ever thought about the Old Testament? You had to bring a sacrifice all the time. Every time you brought a sacrifice, everybody in the whole camp of Israel was saying, oh, we know what they did. We know their sin. I know what that sacrifice is for. You know, I mean, that's pretty scary times, right? But you see, we're not under the Old Testament law. There's no works we can do. Hey, if we'll trust salvation, or excuse me, if we'll trust the Word of God for our salvation, why will we not trust the Word of God for our living after salvation? See, it builds our faith. Now, faith is important for you. Some of y'all might be wondering where we're going. We're going somewhere with this, I promise. But faith is important for you because I did this with all the same letters, help you remember them. It offers you, number one, it offers you stability. How many of you like things to be stable? How many of you want to change houses every other month? Some of you been there, done that. You know what it's like. How many of you want to find a different job every other week? Some of you say, yeah, because you don't like the job you're at now, but it's just going to be worse at the next one. The grass is never greener. Don't we like stability? How many of you like to always find your car right where you parked it? You know? And then you say, oh, and somebody moved my car. I know they did. But, you know, hey, we like stability, right? You know what? Faith offers you that. That's what faith offers you. You know what? If you'll build your faith up, you'll be a more stable Christian. You know what? The Bible says those children, it says, be not as children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that comes along. Hey, you know why people won't stay in church? They've got no stability. Why do they have stability? They have no faith. Why? Because they're not exercising it in the Word of God. They're not trusting it. They're either not hearing it or they're not trusting it. But nonetheless, hey, it offers stability. You know what else it offers you? It offers you strength. Hey, you say, how many of you have ever seen somebody? And you know what? There's people right now that are probably going through things in this church that if you really knew what they were going through, you would probably go, how in the world can they deal with that? You know, some people know, some people don't know. But you've seen other people that you know, and they go through hardship after hardship after hardship after hardship. And you say, I just don't ever think I could be that strong. The only way they're doing it is trusting in the Word of the Lord. The Lord is the only thing. Hey, you know what? You can read. No wonder the suicide rate is what it is when for lost people. Because how in the world could you look at a world and face that? I mean, I look at it and I'm thinking, man, I go to Walmart. And I'm like, wow, I need faith to go to Walmart. I mean, you need faith just to deal with the people at the register. Or the machines at the register. You know, how many of you, we went to McCoy's the other day, me and Milton did. And how many of you, every time, I think it's a lesson in faith. Every time I go to any store, I get a person that has worked there for 5 minutes at the register. We asked this kid, I want to order some lumber. Have it delivered to the church. Oh, you got to see those people over there. We went over there. We waited and we waited and we waited and they just looked at us like, what are y'all doing here? And they kept walking back and forth and back and forth. I thought, man, if I didn't want to order something, that'd be all over me. What can I help you with? And we stood there 10 minutes. Finally, a guy said, well, can I help y'all? And I, you know, he'd been looking at us the whole time. And so finally he helped us. And then I said, we need to order some lumber to have delivered to the church. He said, oh, will you do that over at the register? And I'm like, great. So I go over to the register. Well, we get a different guy. We get the order, the lumber ordered, and everything is fine and dandy. He says, do y'all have an account? I said, I don't know. Well, I go to Bible Believers Baptist Church. If it's in the computer, we got one. He looked it up. He said, oh, yeah, y'all got an account. I said, we're going to pay for it today anyway. So we did all that. And then I realized, oh, man, I forgot to get something. We got to get another thing. So I went back over there to the aisle. I bought something. I went back up. Who do you think I got? I got the trainee guy all over again. And I said, we need to read this up. He said, do you have an account here? I said, yeah, here's my ticket from 2 seconds ago. It's right here. He had to call somebody else over there to work the register. And then he got, then he, after all of that, then he got through it. He said, wait a minute. He had 3 copies of a ticket. He didn't know which one we were supposed to get. He had to call somebody back over to the register. I bet we spent an hour and a half in McCoy's and bought posto diggers. So anybody wants to work them, we got them out there in the building. Y'all sign up. Say, what is that? It's faith. I mean, you got to have some strength to deal with that and not go crazy. You know? I mean, or not want to jump off the bridge. All right. What does it offer us? Stability. Strength. I'm getting out of order here. It offers us sanity. Those two go hand in hand. Some of you might think, he don't have it. He needs to exercise his faith. I probably do. I don't feel very sane a lot of times. But you know what? The Bible says, and the peace of God, which passes what? All understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. That used to be my favorite verse. Because growing up as a teenager and as a college student, and as a young pastor, and having no wife, and having, you know, relatives in the church, and having everybody in the church that was all, you know, I felt like I was going to lose my mind sometimes. And I would always read that passage. I'd say, this says I don't have to understand it. That's what that verse means. So those of you that are killing yourselves to understand it, you know what? The Bible says you don't have to. Go home tonight and sleep for 8 hours. You don't have to. It says the peace that what? Passes all understanding. It passes it. It does away with you. You don't got to get it. Just live it. And you know, that's what faith does for us. Well, y'all liking this so far. All right. It's going to change here in a minute, but nonetheless. Last one, what was that? Sanity, peace of mind. And it offers us security. Security. Boy, we got an alarm deal out there on the wall. That's for security. I set it off the other day. It works. It works. I figured out how to get it shut off real quick, too. But that's security. You got them on your homes, right? You got deadbolts. I figured out those work, too. See, I'm not used to any of this stuff. We're renting a house. We was renting a house, but nonetheless. See, I don't have a garage door opener on this house. So I was in a real big hurry. And, you know, rental houses down here now, you got to have 3 deadbolts. You got to have the lock. You got to have at least a deadbolt. And then you got to have an inside deadbolt. Every door that goes to the outside of a house has to have an inside deadbolt. So I had, you know, I'm security. You know, I lock my cars. If they're in the garage, I'm going to lock them. It's just a habit. So I locked the top. I locked all the deadbolts. And then I thought, well, I can get out the garage door. So I went out the garage door. Then I shut the garage door. And then I went on my merry way. And then Shannon calls and says, hey, I can't get in the house. And I said, don't worry about it. I'll be right there. I got all my keys. So I get there and I go up to the door and I'm thinking, there ain't no key for that third deadbolt, is there? See, that's security. That's why they're there. Hey, you know what? That's what faith does. By the way, how'd you get in? I broke the latch off of the garage door. Take some pliers, pop right off and go on in the house. But nonetheless, had to fix it, but that's, you know, it offers a security. Hey, you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. I got faith in that. I believe that. Just as, if I didn't believe that, then I'd have trouble believing I'm saved. Why? Because the same book tells me the one as it tells me the other. See, it's amazing. We'll believe the book that says, saved by grace through faith. But we won't believe the book that says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Say, what's the difference? We're not exercising the faith. Say, now, that was just the introduction. Here we go. Real quick. That's what faith does for you. But this story, see, you got to know what it does for you, because until it does something for you, it'll never do anything for anybody else. Now, real quick, what did these men do? I want you to note something. Look in verse number 5. The Bible says here, when Jesus saw their faith. Notice he didn't see the faith of the sick man. The Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, he did what? When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now you say that he didn't heal him right there. Yeah, but that's better than healing. I mean, that's a whole lot better having your sins forgiven. I mean, he healed him on down here a little later. And he was doing all that to prove the point that he was God manifest in the flesh. He did that with those people there. And I realized that. But nonetheless, notice here, he didn't say when he saw that man's faith, he said when he saw their faith. Who's the there? It's the four men. Hey, remember we said faith is four things? Hey, you need, you know, it all works. I believe four was used there because it's stability. How many of you's got a car with 3 wheels? 3 tires, whatever. How many of you's got a kitchen table with 3 legs? We got one now. We moved yesterday. We got a new table. Got 3 legs. We prop it up. Go on. It's still bearing a load, though. But seriously, I mean, 4 is stability, right? Most chairs got 4 legs, the chairs you're sitting in, you know? I mean, hey, 4 is stability. Hey, that's why he was born of 4. And when Jesus saw their faith. Now, if you ever deal with a faith healer, you get him right there. They don't know what they're talking about. They'll always say, when you don't get healed, you didn't have enough faith. Well, Jesus healed based on somebody else's faith. So they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. But notice here, he says their faith. Now, so what does your faith do? I want you to look, we'll give you, I don't even know how many there are. 4, we'll give you 4 quick things. Number 1, what should your faith be doing? What can your faith do for somebody else? It can bring somebody else to Jesus Christ. Say, what does the Bible say? It says, the 4 brought the sick of the palsy unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, that's all they did. They didn't have to worry about healing him. They didn't have to worry about saving him. They didn't have to worry about forgiving his sins. They didn't have to worry about if they done it wrong. They brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, yeah, but you know, they only brought one. Hey, one is the most important. You never know who that one is. I mean, you start thinking about that. Hey, you never know. The person that you could bring to the Lord Jesus Christ, it may be the next Lester Roloff, or it may be the next Brother Welder, or, you know, it may be the next whoever, you know, has done a great work for the Lord. You never know. It may be a preacher. It may be a missionary. It may be a great Sunday school teacher. You never know who that person is. That's why you just bring them. And you let God worry about all those things. You know, we got our deal here we put up last year at the missions conference. I like it. One soul at a time. Hey, these men were concerned about this one soul enough that they brought him. And they had to literally carry him there. Now, I don't suggest you try to carry people into church. That might not work out for you so well. But the illustration is, just get them there. You know what? And it's their faith. You say, yeah, but I don't know all the Bible. I don't know all the verses to tell somebody. Hey, do you know what happened to you? Do you know how Jesus Christ saved you? Do you know what Jesus did when you met him? Then simply introduce him to somebody else, and he takes care of the thing. Now, the second thing we see there that'll benefit somebody else, it'll benefit you, but it'll also benefit us. Notice it says there in verse number 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. Now, I'm not telling you to go out there and get yourself on the 10 o'clock news. Now, you know, don't go, you know, I understand, but that's an interesting word, isn't there? Our media says you can't do this, and our media says you can't do that. Now, don't nobody take this the wrong way. I'm not encouraging in any shape, form, or fashion we break the law to get people saved. You know, you can't, you never, I never get the phrase right, but you don't do wrong to get the opportunity to do right. It just don't work. But, you know what? Sometimes there's a way around the press. See it there? See, these men, they couldn't get in the door because people were pressed in there. That's what the word means there. You know, we kind of, but that's interesting in our day and age when we think about the press. Hey, if you just listen to the press, if you're a Christian, you might as well just go to another country if all you listen to is the media, because they don't want you to do nothing. But you know what? Hey, you know what the faith can do? It overcomes obstacles for other people. Hey, you know what? Sometimes, hey, there's people that need you to get around something to get them to the Lord. Hey, you know what? How many of you, I've done this, I know we're probably all guilty of it, but we say, we go to witness to somebody, and there's one obstacle, and we say, well, they just didn't want the Lord. I'm not going back to them. I tried. What if the sick of the palsy, I mean, what if the four had just, you know, we made kind of a little bit of a joke there, but what if they'd have said, well, we can't get you in, so we're just going to drop you right here. You know, that's the way we do a lot of times. You see, faith, you say, well, hey, if you're exercising your faith, you'll have strength to overcome an obstacle that can bring somebody else to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard, but you have to first exercise your faith. See, that's where we're messing up. Hey, you know, you hear preachers preach about, oh, we're in the latter days and we can't have revival. I realize we may not have national grand scale revivals, you know, in the latter days. I realize some of the prophetic things there in the Bible. But you know what? Hey, don't ever let that be an excuse. You can save one. You can lead one person to Christ at a time. You can deal with one soul at a time. You can introduce as many people to Jesus and let them make the decision for themselves. Hey, you know what? You never know what happens until you're willing to exercise a little faith. You never know. Randy preached to us real good on that last Sunday night. You know, about doing two things at one time. It takes faith to do two things at one time. Sometimes it takes faith to do one thing at a time. But it really takes faith to do two things at a time. But notice here, it overcame. They overcame. Not the crowd didn't stop them. The press didn't stop them. The people didn't stop them. Even the roof didn't stop them. They tore up the man's house. Now, bear in mind, I would get permission before you take the roof off the church. You know, I would do that, but you know, don't go tearing, don't, you know, if the neighbor locks his door, don't take your sledgehammer and bust it in. You know, I'm bringing you Jesus. You might get to meet him real quick. You know, but nonetheless, hey, you got to use some common sense. But they did not let obstacles overcome them. They just went around it. They said, you know what? We can just go around, climb up on top. We can slide one of them panels out of the way, and we just drop him right there on top of Jesus. He's got a healing. You know what? That showed Jesus their earnest, their sincerity, and their faith. And that's why it says, when the Lord saw, when he saw their faith. Third thing, real quick, what our faith should be doing for others. It got somebody help. Not only was the man healed, but his sins were forgiven. So we can apply it to leading somebody to Jesus. But you know what else? You never know. This is what's scary for us. We never know, as saved, born-again children of God, what our faith means to somebody else. See, when you don't show up at church, you say, oh, but they shouldn't trust in me. I know that. But sometimes we still influence people. And we have to take note of that. Paul talks about that. He says, hey, if it offends the brother, don't do it in his presence. Say, why? You don't want him to stumble and you be guilty for it. Hey, you never know what your faith means for helping somebody else. Hey, you know what? Hey, people, look, we need to have our faith stronger. Why? They got someone healed. Take your Bibles. We'll look at one verse for this. Look over at James. And every one of us here tonight, I would venture to say, is guilty of this. And we shouldn't be. But every one of us, I know I am. How many of you have ever heard about somebody's sickness or illness or financial situation, or you've heard about their despair and you said, well, I don't really think it's going to do any good to pray for them. See, what can our faith do? That's a scary thought, ain't it? I mean, think about it. If you need help and you're sick, you're going to want to deal with some people who's got faith, because you want them, their faith, to get a hold of God. Now look at something here. And this is talking about a man from the Old Testament. Verse 17. The Bible says, James 5:17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now you say, what's the difference? You say, oh, but that was Old Testament. Elijah was a great prophet of God. He could do those miracles. That was in the days of signs and wonders. I realize that we're not in the times of signs. I realize that. But notice something here. What does it say in verse, what does it start out as? Have you ever noticed that? Elias was subject to like passions as what? We are. Notice it takes the time to tell you Elias was just like you. You think he didn't doubt? He wanted to quit over there. He went and beat 400 prophets of Baal, destroyed them all, got God to send fire down from heaven, and Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you, and he runs out and hides under a tree and wants to die. Say, oh, we'd never do that. We don't even do it. We don't even attempt the 400 prophets to begin with. Now, don't go the wrong way with that either. But nonetheless, he's a like man, subject unto like passions. He's no different than us. Let me ask you something. I'm not saying that everybody in here is going to pray and it not rain for 3 years. Please don't. We need rain. But notice, the point is, he was just like us. And you know what? He served the same God that you have. He served the same God that saved you. And God hadn't lost 1 ounce of power. I realize things may not be in God's will. But you know what? Hey, wouldn't it be a shame? You know, the Bible says in James, ye have not because ye ask not. Now, I use that with the kids. I tell them, you know, wouldn't it be sad to get to heaven and God say, well, I was going to give you $1 million and you just wouldn't ask for it. You didn't have enough faith to ask for it. Everybody going to go home tonight and ask for $1 million, right? It may not work. It may not be in God's will. But let me ask you something. Wouldn't it be scary to know what you could get if you would ask for it? You know what's that old saying? It never hurts to ask. Hey, it never hurts to pray for somebody. It may not be God's will for them to be healed. It may not be God's will for them to do this or to do that. But you know what? Hey, when we have faith, it affects other people. People can get help. People can get saved. People can get need. Hey, people can get courage to fight another day just because you showed up at church. And you say, I didn't know I ever affected anybody that way. You know what? When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you are going to see how you affected other people. And it's going to terrify us to death to see what we could have done, or what we should have done sometimes. I know there'll be rewards. I know there'll be joys. But hey, if you look at the Bible, God doesn't wipe away all tears till way after that. But notice here, our faith, it ought to do something for others. First, it has to do some things for you. But notice here, the last thing we'll look at. So what did it do? What should your faith be doing for others? It should be bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. It should be allowing you to overcome obstacles to help other people. Your faith should be bringing other people some kind of a help. Your faith also should cause others to glorify God. Look at the last verse. After this whole thing is said and done in Capernaum, in verse number 12, it says, and immediately he arose. That's the palsied man that gets healed. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed. And did what? And glorified God. See, your faith ain't about you. It ain't about, oh, I got the faith. I'm in the faith. Look at me. I'm in the faith. That's not what it's about. It's about glorifying God. And the others glorified Him. And then look at what they said. And we're all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. We never saw it on this fashion. Say, Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. I realize that. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you saw something so miraculous at church and you just couldn't wait to tell the people at work the next day? Man, you'll never believe what happened at church. We're not talking about foolishness or funny business. We're not talking about things that are bad. We're talking about being able to glorify God. Hey, when's the last time something happened in your life because of faith for other people and you couldn't wait to share it with somebody else? See, the Bible says they glorified God. You know what? I believe personally, you don't have to, but I believe, you know, why do we not see the power of God move like it used to in the old days? You know, they talk about a man, everybody in here has probably heard of him, Jonathan Edwards. I know he may have had some doctrine wrong, but he preached a sermon that is so, had such great effect, it's in just about every American literature book. In early American literature, the American Literature 1 that we had to take in college, we had to read a sermon. I was blown away. I'd never read no sermon in literature. It's always, weird poets like Edgar Allan Poe and those people that talk about death and ravens and contrariness and all, and midnight and the dark hour and death and all these things, And then all of a sudden we get in American literature and I'm like, the teacher says, all right, y'all got to read Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I said, what? I thought this has got to be like a pagan or like an atheist that's writing something against God. And I started reading that sermon. I'm like, wow. You know, say that was a different time, preacher. That was a different era. It's same God. Is it not? But you know what? We don't exercise our faith. And if we don't exercise our own faith, we'll never see it in the lives of others. We'll never be able to have our faith do something for others. Hey, you could see the power of God. We could all see the power of God, not only in our own lives, but in our church, in our community. You know, that's one of the ways you mark that something's wrong with this modern Christianity is because outside the walls of the churches never changes. Churches grow, churches ungrow, whatever the word would be there. They go up, they go down, they close down, they open up. There's a new one here, there's a new one there. There'll be one closed, there'll be another one come behind it. But what changes when you go to Walmart? What changes when you go to Whataburger? See, that's where the power of God is. Something's missing. You say, what is it? I believe it's exercising our faith. The faith of these men got a man healed, and the Bible says they all joined around and said, they were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. You say, I've never seen people run down the aisle to get saved, or never seen families where they've prayed and prayed and prayed and finally a lost member gets saved and the whole family's turned around. Maybe we aren't praying. Maybe we aren't exercising our own faith enough and building it up where our faith can help somebody else. We see some simple things here tonight. We use the children's story to teach about Jesus saving a man. But in that same story is simple things. What does our faith do for others? As they come tonight, we'll have a hymn of invitation. Bobby, if you'll pick out a hymn there, Shannon, or whoever plays, and close your Bibles or close your eyes and we'll pray. I just want to encourage you tonight as we sing just a verse or two. We won't have a long invitation, but as we sing a verse or two of Scripture, of a hymn, I just want to encourage you tonight to think about this. Hey, this is something that you have to settle in your own heart. If God has dealt with your heart and He's impressed it upon your heart to come to the altar and pray about this thing, you ought to come. It's real when it's here. When you get home, it may not be as real. There's too many distractions, too many interruptions. But you know what? If God's dealt with your heart, why don't you come? But you know what? It don't just end here. If you do come or you pray at your chair, it doesn't end there. It's just like bodily exercise. We have to do it every day, day after day after day. Say, preacher, I don't feel like doing it some days. I know. We don't feel like serving God some days. We don't feel like reading our Bible some days. But you know what? That's how you trust in the Lord. That's how you get stronger in the faith. We're not talking about adding anything to your salvation. We're talking about building our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to where our faith maybe could do something for somebody else. Lord God, we thank you tonight. Lord, we pray that you might speak to our hearts here. Lord God, we thank you for the word of God that you've given us. We thank you for this beautiful illustration. And Lord God, I pray that you would stir it in our own hearts, Lord God, to examine ourselves. And Lord God, that we might be willing to say, my faith needs a little more exercising. I could use a little more stability and strength and security and even sanity from time to time. And I know that if I build my faith, then my faith can affect somebody else. I'll be able maybe to carry somebody else to the Lord, or to bear somebody else's burden, or to be a prayer warrior, or Lord God, to lift somebody up in need of prayer and see you do great and wonderful things. Lord God, we love nothing more than to see the power of God displayed in our homes, in our lives, in our church, in our community, Lord God. See people changed and see your name glorified. Lord God, most of the time it's cursed and ridiculed in the communities in which we live. But Lord God, it can be glorified. And we pray, Lord, that we would have that kind of faith, Lord, that you would help us tonight, Lord God, to increase our faith. And Lord God, that you might be glorified in all that's said and done here tonight. And Lord, that it wouldn't just end here, that we'd keep this in our hearts and try to do something with it, Lord God, as we go forth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.